Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, September 3rd, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Sithandekile Mhlanga.
Here are our top stories this evening. The Constitutional Court declares as unconstitutional the prosecution of Election Resource Center officials who were arrested and charged with breaching the country's tough electoral laws ahead of last year's general election.
Former Prime Minister and Leader of the Opposition, MDC, Morgan Tsvangirai, accuses the ZANU-PF government of sabotaging his party's operations by failing to release funds owed to the party.
Suppose Tsvangirai tomorrow is found dead, what does that got to do with my desires? Constitutions are meant to deal with the dangers of the future, not with the angels of today.
And Zimbabweans take to mobile banking in huge numbers.
What people is simply doing is just being astute, taking advantage of technological developments to widen their business. Because other traditional banks, what they should do, they should also invest in technology, probably pull their resources and invest in technology.
The Constitutional Court has today declared as unconstitutional the prosecution of Election Resource Center ERC officials who were arrested and charged with breaching the country's tough electoral laws ahead of last year's general election. The full bench of the Constitutional Court ruled that the prosecution of the ERC officials infringed their right to liberty in terms of Section 49, 1B of the Constitution for there being no reasonable suspicion of their having committed an offence. Police last May arrested and charged four ERC officials, namely Tawanda Chimini, who represented the ERC in his capacity as director, and Moses Chikora, Wazanani Nyakuja, and Farai Saungweme with contravening Section 40C1G of the Electoral Act for allegedly conducting voter education by distributing materials without the approval of the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, ZEC. The state alleged that the ERC officials unlawfully conducted voter education by distributing unapproved compact discs and flyers containing voter education material in Harare's Mount Pleasant suburb ahead of the July 31st, 2013 general elections without approval from ZEC.
The ERC officials were represented by Trust Manda of Maunga, Manda and Associates legal practitioners, filed an application in the Constitutional Court in November 2013, arguing that the charges they were facing had the effect of breaching their fundamental rights, particularly their rights to freedom of expression in terms of Section 61 of the Constitution. In their application, in which they cited Johannes Tuamana, the Prosecutor General, the National Prosecuting Authority and Harare Magistrate Tendai Mawe, the ERC argued that what they were alleged to have done constitutes the exercise of freedom to communicate ideas and information, and hence Section 40 of the Electoral Act hinders the freedom to communicate and impart ideas and is inconsistent with Section 61 of the Constitution. The ERC officials charged that what they had allegedly done was to provide voter information, which was essential for potential voters to exercise their right to vote.
Former Prime Minister and Leader of the Opposition Movement for Democratic Change, Morgan Tsvangirai, is accusing President Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF of sabotaging his party's operations by failing to release funds it is entitled to under the Political Finance Act. The Act stipulates that a party that garners at least 5% of the vote in a previous election is eligible to receive public funds. Only ZANU-PF and the MDC have enjoyed this privilege following the 2008 and 2013 general elections. Most political parties in the country still depend on handouts from generous individuals, companies, and private organizations. The law does not allow Zimbabwean parties to receive foreign funding.
But the cash-strapped Harare has been failing to meet its constitutional obligation to release the $5 million it owes to the MDC and ZANU-PF. Mr. Tsvangirai's party is now struggling to raise enough money for its Congress, which is set for Harare beginning October 30. Mr. Tsvangirai's party is facing its third split after some senior party officials accused him of trying to change the party's constitution and concentrate power in his office. All this as the party heads towards an elective Congress. VOA Studio 7 reporter Blessing Zulu reached Mr. Tsvangirai and talked about the country's economic problems and its foreign policy, among other issues.
This is fiction. Every time we go to a Congress, as we are preparing for the October Congress, structures are given an opportunity to look at the Constitution with the intention of reviewing whatever section needs amendment given our experience. So the process which is taking place is a grassroots-based process. The people are giving inputs to the committee or to the commission that we have set up. The commission or the committee has not even reported to the organs of the party. Once they are through, they will come to the executive who will examine the report and will send it back to the structures to verify their input before we send it to the National Council and then before we submit it to Congress. So that process is still ongoing. There is no such thing that I want to manipulate the people. After all, I've spent the rest of the almost 35 years of my life in the trade unions and in the party fighting against dictatorship.
Some of your top lieutenants are alleging that there are some people who are actually using your name to say this is what Mr. Tsvangirai wants and therefore it must be done when it comes to constitutional reforms.
Yeah, well, I don't want people who go around masquerading as spokesperson for the president. The president does not change the constitution. The committee does not change the constitution. The committee receives inputs from provinces and from grassroots as to what constitutional amendments are needed. Given our history, we have to deal with a lot of things.
But you have personally previously expressed a personal desire to have the constitution amended. Is this not where maybe this talk about you wanting more power is coming from?
Mm-hmm. Suppose Tsvangirai tomorrow is found dead. What does that got to do with my desires? Constitutions are meant to deal with the dangers of the future, not with the angels of today. And I've said, yes, we need to relook at our constitution given our experiences. And as far as my expressions were concerned, I never directed anyone to change anything other than the people making suggestions what changes are necessary.
Let's turn to your preparations for the Congress. How far have you gone?
We are on course.
Talking about resources, have you raised enough money to hold a successful Congress?
No, we haven't. But we are trying to adjust, to give the priorities to transport, accommodation, and party organization Congress that will be taking place.
Normally, the government is constitutionally obligated to give political parties like the MDC some money under the Political Finance Act. What is happening with that money?
Nothing has been released yet. I think to MDC and ZANU-PF, I'm hoping that this is not a political maneuver to try to curtail our activities, but we are entitled to that money, and when it is released to all the political parties that are represented in Parliament, we'll get our share.
That was former Prime Minister and leader of the Opposition Movement for Democratic Change Formation, Mr. Morgan Tsvangirai, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Meanwhile, Mr. Tsvangirai today urged members of parliament from his party to report back to their constituencies to avoid a breakdown in communication with their supporters. Mr. Tsvangirai met at Harvest House with 80 members of parliament from his party, where they discussed, among other things, the economic situation in the country, the party's constitution, and their roadmap leading to the 2018 elections. Party spokesman Douglas Monzora speaks with reporter Jonga Kandemiri for more details on the meeting.
The most critical thing is that the president was urging them that they must go and feed back to the people of Zimbabwe what is happening in the country and what is happening in the party.
What did the MPs say about this?
Well, the MPs welcomed the president's remarks and his vision, but they decried the problems that are there at parliament. They are supposed to be given fuel in order to be able to reach the four corners of their constituencies. Regrettably, they are not being able to get these fuel coupons to use. And for 40 weeks, they've gone without those fuel coupons. Without those, they are not able to discharge their duties.
And the state of the economy, did Mr. Tsvangirai and the MPs discuss this?
Yes. In fact, the discussion was that there should be a change in philosophy, a change in approach on the part of the MDC. Currently, the Zimbabwean crisis is affecting everyone, irrespective of political affiliation. Therefore, we must move towards the new thinking, which is the national convergence, where we converge, irrespective of our political opinions, on the national issues, with a view to resolve the national issues in Zimbabwe.
That was MDCT spokesman Douglas Monzora on the line from Harare with reporter Jonga Kandemiri. National Railways of Zimbabwe workers say they will stage demonstrations over their outstanding salaries on Saturday, the 6th of this month, following a High Court ruling last week granting them permission to proceed with the protests. Last month, police barred NRC unions from demonstrating in Harare, Bulawayo, Gweru and Mutare, saying the demonstrations could spark incidents of violence. Tamurai Moyo, president of the Zimbabwe Amalgamated Railways Union, told Studio 7 the workers are dissatisfied that their employer is paying them half their salaries instead of clearing all the outstanding arrears. NRC Public Relations Manager Fanuel Masikati tells Studio 7, although the parastatal's performance depends on the country's economy, NRZ is making efforts to revamp the company and meet all its responsibilities, including the workers' demands.
That is why I think there's been a talk about the issue concerning the money that we're expecting to get from TBSA. As we talk right now, we are trying to make sure that to move customers' cargo, testing it on whatever the resources that we have for now. As you know, that we are the backbone of our transport industry. And we also drive the industry, and industry drives the economy of Zimbabwe. We play that role, and we will continue, but we need the support also of all stakeholders.
What efforts are in place to recapitalize, which you believe can effectively revamp the company?
I'm grateful to say government has been supporting us through PSRP to try and rehabilitate our infrastructure. But in the long term, they say the 10-year period, we require something like 1.9 billion, which is maybe I can just say 2 billion, to fully recapitalize and be transformed as an organization. Because the design capacity of our infrastructure, it was designed to move something like 18 million tons a year. And now it has actually gone down from 1999 to about 14, 12. Now currently we are saying maybe looking at about between 6 and 25 million. And that's why we need to refurbish things like locomotives, the wagons, which are the ones that we use for freight, all the passenger side, obviously, also some, most of the fleet of horses are old, but we'll make sure that we also continue to make sure that we get funding to refurbish some of those resources.
That was NRZ Public Relations Manager Fanuel Masikati on the line from Bulawayo.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up, mobile banks change the banking world as we know it.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
U.S. President Barack Obama is in Estonia for the start of a four-day European trip aimed at reassuring NATO allies of active U.S. support as tensions about Russia's role in Ukraine continue to rise. Mr. Obama arrived early Wednesday in the Estonian capital, Tallinn, where he will hold a full day of talks with the president of Estonia, Lavita and Luthiana. The meetings in Tallinn, 200 kilometers from the Russian border, come in response to mounting concerns about Russia's military involvement in Ukraine and possible Russian threats to the Baltic states.
Four United Nations peacekeepers have been killed and 15 others injured after the convoy they were traveling in struck a landmine in northern Mali. The contingent of peacekeepers from Chad was struck near the embattled town of Kidal yesterday. At least six of those hit were seriously wounded. The UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon condemned the attack, the latest in a series of incidents against UN personnel and contractors in recent weeks, including the one that wounded nine Chadian peacekeepers August 29.
And the international medical aid group Doctors Without Borders say the world is losing the battle against Ebola and warns the deadly virus will not be stopped unless wealthy nations dispatch specialized biological disaster response teams to West Africa. The organization's president, Joanne Liu, said yesterday that a group which has treated more than 1,000 Ebola patients in West Africa since March is completely overwhelmed by the disease. Her warnings were echoed yesterday by the head of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Zimbabwe is one of the few countries in sub-Saharan Africa that has a large number of customers, dumping traditional banking in favor of non-formal banking that does not attract excessive charges. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo looks at the impact of non-formal banking on the financial sector.
Sub-Saharan Africa has become the bedrock of mobile banking, pushing its penetration over six times the global average of mobile banking users. In Zimbabwe, a country with over 100% mobile phone use, the nation's biggest telecommunications companies, Econet Wireless Zimbabwe and Telecel Zimbabwe, through their EcoCash and Telecash products, account for nearly 5 million users. With the emergence and steady growth of mobile banking, the big question is what happens to traditional banks and banking, especially in Zimbabwe, where the near collapse of the economy not only severely affected banking, but the pockets of ordinary Zimbabweans. Independent economist Masimba Kuchera says although it was not mainly the fault of traditional banks, local people associate traditional banking with the dumped Zimbabwean dollar and the disappearance of their money around 2009.
Banks have not been forgiven for that, although it was not their fault. I think only 10 to 15% could have been their fault. It was mainly political and also to do with the RBZ policies then.
Economist with the Labor and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe, Prosper Chitambara, says with the low confidence in the banking sector, the major challenge for banks has been in drawing the estimated $8 billion circulating in the non-formal banking sector through various products, some created by these financial institutions.
The formal banking system itself probably validated probably about $5 billion US. So I think that's the major challenge now. How we mop up that liquidity and bring it into the formal or so-called traditional banking system so that even companies and other producers or economic agents can begin to benefit from that improved liquidity.
Compared to traditional banking, customers say mobile banking is simpler. With a mobile carrier phone number and a mobile banking user account, users can deposit, withdraw, and transfer money, pay bills and merchants for goods and services at the click of a button or through an agent at a convenience store anywhere in the country. Traditional banks require bankers to be present at a location to conduct similar business, but these institutions are able to provide financial assistance outside of these products. Former Stanbic Bank employee Professor Ngoni Chiwije says with the surge of mobile banks, EcoCash in particular, some banks have expressed concern over regulations in the sector, as such products are working as non-traditional banks to avoid certain regulations. Professor Chiwije adds that with the boom of new technologies, traditional banks, especially those in Africa, must start to move with the times.
That is what technology does. It does away with some of the formalities that were actually required in the past. That's the importance of technology. And what Econet is simply doing is just being a strategic, taking advantage of technological developments to widen its business perspective. And I think these other traditional banks, what they should do, they should also invest in technology, probably pull their resources and invest in technology.
Kuchera agrees, adding that some banking regulations have hindered traditional banks to follow suit with mobile banking. banking trend, but there's need for banks to look at their cost-making structures and source money to begin implementing changes similar to mobile banking.
The regulators have not done the traditional banking sector any favors. But also, I think the traditional banks have been a bit reluctant to be able to join the mobile banking revolution in terms of them introducing workable platforms because of the yield cost. Remember, they are brick and mortar banks and they need to maintain, they need to pay rent and so on and so forth, which mobile banking platforms don't have to do.
But some traditional bankers say they are not worried about the surge of mobile banking, as there is interest in merging some mobile banking platforms within their institutions. Bank ABC chief economist and banker James Wade says mobile banking for traditional bankers is a phenomenon that cannot be ignored, as it is tapping in the areas banks have not been able to penetrate initially.
Relying on that make business sense to aggressively pursue mobile banking as one of the convenient channels for providing banking to the public.
Wade says though mobile companies were able to enter that market first, traditional bankers are not far behind in moving to provide platforms to enhance their revenue and grow mobile banking customers.
You find that now there's been increasingly this partnership with the banks. In some instances, banks now are beginning to set their own mobile banking platform in an attempt to make sure that possibly you enjoy the value chain much more than when you see our network.
Economists and bankers agree that regardless of differences in the banking system, the interest is to embrace new and emerging technologies and boost the economy while increasing liquidity in not only Zimbabwe, but Africa as a whole. Reporting for Studio 7, this is Tatenda Gumbo.
Listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Medium Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
And in sports news, the Dynamos today beat Chiredzi 2-0 in a Castle Laga Premier Soccer League match with two superb goals scored by Roderick Mutuma in the 10th minute and in the 15th minute, respectively. The win enables Dimbare to maintain its position on the top of the Premiership log with 42 points. In other matches, Chapungu beat Chicken Inn 3-1. Highlanders drew with Buffaloes 0-0 to trail Dynamos on the log with 39 points. Black Rhinos beat Harare City 1-0, while Triangle United beat FC Platinum 2-0. Dynamos fan Fabian Mahembe says he is pleased with his team's performance and hopes Dimbare will continue on its winning streak to end the season. Mahembe speaks with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyawe.
Dynamos' performance this afternoon against Chiredzi was very much splendid. It was good. This victory is actually cemented as on top of the log, and we as supporters, we are quite happy, and we are actually on cloud nine, because if we maintain this momentum, we should be able to clinch the 40th title in a row.
We saw your player, Roderick Mutuma, scoring in the 10th minute and in the 55th minute for Dynamos. What does this mean for you?
Mutuma is a player, no doubt, is quite a top-quality player, but you see, he's still growing, still learning the ropes. So as a supporter, I really encourage our coaches, Kalisto Pasua and the assistants, to actually help in nurturing this youngster. If he's matured well, I see him going all the way to become one of the leading strikers in the mold of the late Sheki Tauro. I foresee him being one of the greatest strikers, but we only need to concentrate on helping him on the attitude and on the other necessary technical aspects of the game.
That was Dynamos football fan Fabian Mahembe speaking there with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyawe from Harare.
We also had emails from Blessing Chikanta in Saka, James Stephen in Cheku, to Kudzai Nduna Kwamutare in Manicaland. He's greeting the Nduna family in Zimbabwe and his father, Van Duna in Honde Valley.
Yes, in our mailbag, we also have Mr. Chifamba in Chiwota, who is greeting his family in Zimbabwe.
Yes, someone is saying, I thank you, Studio 7, for broadcasting and bringing current news without taking sides. I wish if you could broadcast 24/7. I am Oreta Kanga Usaru from Karoi. Greet Bernard Kanga Usaru in Polokwane, South Africa.
A listener who does not want to be named says, the press on guys continue to give us information about what is happening in Zimbabwe. Things are getting harder and harder for the ordinary person in the country.
Another listener again says, this is the real risk of investing in our country. If you want to see that, where is the target money going to? Our main roads are in bad conditions, especially the Matabeleland ones. And the listener is Lesen Sibanda.
And another listener, Star, who does not want to be named, says, I think Zimbabwe will change when God comes, but President Mugabe is not serious about our future.
Jonathan says foreign trucks pay exorbitant toll fees, pay a carbon tax, insurance, agriculture, port health, gets pass, and he says it's too much.
Torera GK Nemangwe says the policies concerning investment are ZANU-PF friendly. This causes a downturn in the economy.
Another listener says, my name is Onias Sharara. I'm in Mutare, Zimbabwe. Your programs are so informative. Please keep up the standard. Don't look back. We are starving yet in the land of plenty.
And Courage Chumba from Berengwa says, I always love your news. Keep it up.
Someone says, I want to thank you, Blessing and Jonga, for giving us truth news. May you keep the fire burning. It's me, Mokoma Shepi Pachibinge. When you give us news, please try your best to give us soccer results.
How are you, Jonga? Blessing and Sandra, I am Tembingo Sistole in Four Ways in South Africa. Thank you for the good work that you do. It makes me happy. Please keep on keeping on. Thank you so much.
Yes, and someone says, I'm the great follower, set free Sebake Makaya in Shipiro Mafa Rarikwa Marange Bochani Mutare. He's saying 50-50 keep it up. The future of our information is upon you, Jonga. Blessing Sandra Gibbs, Marvelous Tatenda Kumbo, and other staff. Can you push up news time to an hour each? Give us one country western music. He says we should greet the following families for him: Chipiro, Korito, Zike, Makaya, Munyaja, Tsengwa, Ngwena, and Muchayembera.
Star, we have a lot of emails that we had. I'll just now mention some of the names because we won't be able to read all the emails. We have Mazibaba Shingi in Headlands, Bamatongo from Nyanga, Rachibayoa Kwamrewa, and Mukanga Chau Chau Misongwe, Tinei Ngirichi from Triangle, Mufakose B, and we also have Paida Moyo in Chipinge, Farai Sidumo. We also have, there are many emails.
Yes, I can see we even have Perfect from Matabele South in Kezi, and we also have Owen from Chitungwiza.
And yes, I see so many, including guest quotes in Kwekwe. Thank you so much. Keep them rolling in. So maybe we'll continue tomorrow. We need a little bit of time to, you know, honor the listener who asked for a country and western song before we close. Maybe we first start go to recapping one or two major stories for today.
Yes, Sandra, we heard that the Constitutional Court declares as unconstitutional the prosecution of Election Resources Center officials who were arrested and charged with breaching the country's tough electoral laws ahead of last year's general elections.
And former Prime Minister and leader of the MDC, Morgan Tsvangirai, accuses President Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF party of sabotaging his party's operations by failing to release funds owed to his party.
And Zimbabweans take to mobile banking in huge numbers, which is our live talk this evening. Lips rolled and curled your tinted hair.
Ruby, are you contemplating going out somewhere? The shadow on the wall tells me the sun is going down. Oh, Ruby, don't take your love to town. It wasn't me that started that old crazy Asian war, but I was proud to go and do my patriotic chore. Yes, it's true that I'm not the man I used to be,
Yes, that song there was played for one of our listeners who asked specifically for a country and western song. Sita, we will have more emails tomorrow. That's all we had for you tonight. Good night, Zimbabwe.
Good night, Zimbabwe. This is Sithandekile Mhlanga wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.